As we're looking at this, turn to James chapter 1. I just want to give you a few thoughts on how to have triumphs and or how to be victorious, maybe I should say, over trials. You know, it says in reading from the NIV in James 1, 2, 3, and 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then the New Living says, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, and so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. And then the today's English version, my brothers, consider yourself fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way, for you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure. Make sure that your endurance carries you all away without failing, so you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Here James is telling us, he is saying that, there are going to be trials. In fact, in John 16:33, Jesus told us, he said, in this world you will experience trials and trouble and tribulation, but I've come because I've overcome the world. You know, I want to share with you a few things tonight, just sort of stir up your mind. Most of you may already know this. You probably heard it before. But really, when you're going through trials, we need to maintain an attitude of joy. Maintain an attitude of joy. You know, it says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials, it says here. You know, I want you to notice the word consider there. Consider, according to Strong's exhaustive concordance, means to command with official authority. Consider it pure joy means to take lead in giving a command in authority in the name of Jesus over these trials and situations that's coming in your life. You know, consider, you know, count it joy in spite of the deal. You know, sometimes it may be tough when you're in the middle of a trial to consider it joy, but we need to learn to laugh at the devil in the middle of our trouble. Because, you see, we know what the end is. What we're involved in is not what the end is. We know what the end is. We know we're going to be delivered, that he's going to deliver us. And it says, I want you to notice here, in this translation, it says, consider it pure joy. Pure joy. Now, many times in mixing something, they tell you that if you don't want to use it at full strength, well, you mix something else with it and it becomes diluted, right? See, sometimes in cleaning carpet, you need to use it full strength, but sometimes you need to dilute it because you don't need the full strength. You see, your joy cannot be diluted with something else. It can't be pure joy. See, pure, you know, means it's full strength. You know, pure joy, not a diluted mixture of joy. You know, or you might call it a watered down version. You know, one day you're saying, oh, praise the Lord, I'm coming out of this trial. The next day you said, oh, my Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, you're mixing it up, you know. You got to stay full of joy the whole time. It doesn't work if you mix it up. You know, you want it full strength, full strength. Hey, don't consider it joy part-time and then begin to, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. You know, don't be joyful one day and then not joyful the next day. You know, you need to realize that whenever you face trials, It says whenever you face trials. Not if you're going to, whenever. It's not a matter if you're going to face a trial. It's a matter when whenever it comes. You know, sometimes people will try to avoid a trial. They'll spend all their time trying to avoid the trial instead of taking the word of God and facing the situation head on. You know, now we got to realize that not all of our trials that we face are the devil's fault. Sometimes we create our own trial and our own trouble. Well, you're going to have to take care of that one yourself. But when the devil throws something at you, we can take the power of the word of God, consider it pure joy, and walk through it and come out on the other side victorious. You know, now some things happen to us, and, you know, we just have to realize that, hey, this don't have anything to do with the devil, you know. If your birthday cake collapses because your candles are too heavy on the top of it. You know, another thing, you know, you might, it may be a trial, and you may have to consider it joy when your twin sister forgets your birthday. Oh, here's a good one. Your horn accidentally starts honking and you're on the freeway behind a group of outlaw bike riders. You know. We need to learn to have joy no matter what happens. No, because we know what the outcome is. You know, knowing this during your trial, it helps us to realize that God is working for us. You know, God is working for us. When you know something, it enables you to better attack the situation and come through the situation. You know, first of all, what we need to know is that God is not the author of the trial. He is the deliverer from the trial. He's the one that will help you to have the endurance to believe him and come out on the other side. See, some people think, oh, I can quote the word of God and start believing God, and then a few seconds, it's all going to be over. No, you got to have endurance, and you got to keep on saying it. Right. Keep on believing and keep on saying, right? You know, the devil is the one that creates the problems. Then he tries to get us to blame God. Have you ever seen somebody say, well, I don't understand why God's letting this happen to me? Anybody ever heard somebody say that? I've heard it many times. I said, God's not got anything to do with it. The devil's got something to do with it. Now you've got to take God and do something about it. You know, some people want God to do everything, but he's already done everything he's going to do about helping us out of our trials, our trouble, our situations and everything. We've got to take him at his word and begin to take the word of God against that, and he'll come in and help us. You know, I don't see it happening very often anymore, but back when I was growing up, I mean, it was very common to have flats because the tire had an inner tube inside of it. And you young people don't know nothing about an inner tube inside of a tire. But you would jack a car up. But you would always say, hey, somebody get a rock, get something, and scotch that wheel, you know, put it behind the wheel. We'd call it down in Texas, call it scotch that wheel so that it won't roll. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, you see, that's what we need to do. We need to go to God, and we begin to say, all right, Lord, this is what the word of God says, and so forth. And so then we put the word of God there, and it holds us in place. I may be going through the trial, but I want to tell you something. I'm happy. Yeah. I'm not happy because of the trial. I'm happy because I know what's going to happen on the other side of the trial. Huh? Come on now. See, God specializes in making something good out of something bad. Something. See, that's a good Texas word. I should have said something, but I said something. You know, how many of y'all understand that word? I think y'all say the same thing up here in Oklahoma. Well, I've lived here long enough now. I'm originally from Texas. Now, trials are an opportunity for you to exercise and develop your ability to endure. See, God will want you to realize that if you will keep standing on the word, he will come through. You know, I mean, I don't know how many times growing up, you know, I'd go with my dad. Most of y'all know who my dad was. He's considered one of the most, modern Father Day minister of faith. And he didn't like that title, but he got it. And I say, Dad, what about it? What about this? When we're going through trials, and we had many of them. He'd say, oh, son, just another opportunity to prove God's word works.
Amen.
I mean, he never let it get him down. Because, see, knowing that as you believe God, it develops your faith muscles.
Yes.
As you endure and persevere. How many of you have ever worked out and tried to build your muscles? Did it take perseverance? And endurance. Hello. But as you kept going, you began to develop. You see, when we face trials and we take our faith and begin to use our faith, it helps us to develop our faith to be stronger. In fact, Paul told the Thessalonians that he was thankful for their exceedingly growing faith. Actually the old King James said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Hello. In fact, I think my dad has a book out there called Exceedingly Growing Faith, talking about what we're talking about here. Now, in other words, a word for perseverance actually could be patience. We live in a world that nobody has patience for anything. You know, Craig used to, I don't know whether he still does or not, but if he went into a restaurant and they had a long wait, he'd say, no, we'll go somewhere else. That's him. He don't like to wait. You know, that's why they started these, these drive-up window deals. I found out that I can go inside and get waited on quicker than I can waiting in that line. But we don't have the patience to wait in the line. We live in a world that we want everything now. But you know what? As we begin to believe God and persevere, you know, God has to move some other things out of the way sometimes before he can bring us the answer. Remember, Daniel started praying. And when the angel got to Daniel with the answer, he said, I was dispatched the first day you prayed. But I had to do battle with the prince of Persia, and he kept on praying. That helped him to get through the battle to get to him with the answer. The minute you pray, God dispensed the answer. You keep on saying it. That's why in Mark 11:23, he keeps saying it. You know, I got a sermon I preach on whether I preach it here or not. Say it till you see it. Just keep saying it. I just keep saying it. I just keep saying it. Why? Because I know that what's going to happen if I continue to believe God and continue to take God in his word and allow God to work, I can receive all of the blessings.
Amen.
You know, stay focused on the goal.
Yes.
You know, it says here at the last part of this verse of scripture, it says that perseverance must finish its work so that you are patient, but may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. And in Hebrews 6:12 in the NIV says, we do not want to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises.
Yes.
You know, it's over there in Hebrews, it talks about those, all those heroes of faith and so forth. And it says that we are, don't imitate them, imitate their faith is what it's saying through faith. And the today's English version says, we do not want you to become lazy, but be like those who believed and are patient so they received what God has promised. We need to believe God to work in our lives, to bring us into maturity and stay focused. Now, you know, I ran track in high school, and when you get on that track, every person has lanes. I don't care if you're in the middle of the track, you got people on each side of you. If you happen to be in the first lane, you got them over here. If you happen to be in the last lane, they're all back here. Now, if you're running the 220 like I did in high school, they call it the 200 now. If I'm way up here, because they start you in a stagger on the curve, and, you know, this guy's way back here and you're here, but when you get to that last curve, headed home, you know, when you come off that curve, headed home, you're together. But you know what? When I got on that track, my focus was not on anybody on either side of me. It was focused on a finish line.
Amen.
And, you know, you can hear people hollering and saying different things and so forth. And the enemy will get people coming across your path to try to get you off of your focus.
Yes.
You've got to stay focused. And when you stay focused, then we can, you know, we can come to the point staying focused on the promises of God, realizing that he will bring us through, that he will deliver us, that he will set us free. And it says, lacking nothing. And the psalmist said in Psalms 23:1, and all of us know that, we can probably quote it, the Lord is my shepherd, I will want. I shall not want. That means you're not lacking for nothing.
Amen.
Not lacking for anything. You know, man, what a glorious place to be in. You know, you're not lacking for healing. You're not lacking for safety. You're not lacking for provision. You're not lacking for employment. Hey, you're not lacking for victory.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You know, hey, count it all joy. You're going to make it through. If God brought the children of Israel through to the promised land, through all the things they went through the Red Sea, then he can get you out of your trouble and your trial. If God delivered Goliath from the giant, he can deliver you from the giant that you're facing right now. If he brought the three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace, he can bring you out of your fiery trial. If he protected Daniel in the lion's den, then he can protect you wherever you're at. If he could break open the prison doors and let Paul and Silas out, then he can break open your prison door and let you out. Hey, consider it all joy, because you know that in the end, victory is yours and you're going to win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of that short little message? But it's a good one. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I trust that people will got a hold of what I'm saying tonight. And may we realize that we're all going to face trials. We're all going to face troubles. But you're going to bring us out. You're going to deliver us. You're going to set us on our feet on the road to victory. If we will continue to believe and endure, we will come out on top on the other side. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed, is there anybody here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior? Or anybody here that needs to rededicate your life to God? I want to pray with you and for you. Praise the Lord. God will set you free. Hallelujah. Jesus. Amen. Well, anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We believe in being filled with the Spirit around here. Not a church creed or doctrine, what the Bible said. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. Trust you got something. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Anybody need prayer for healing tonight? We'll pray with you and you'll be healed. You saw the healing testimonies that were up there. as we saw the healing testimonies. Anybody need healing? Well, praise the Lord. First-time guests, go find our first-time guests, and let's take them to that special room. We got a special gift for you. Hey, we're going to do this all over again next Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Be here. I'll be here. No, I won't be here. I'll be in Michigan, won't I? Craig will be here. But, hey, don't y'all stay away just because I'm not here. All right? Because I check to see. You can ask Craig. You can ask Greg. You can ask Cliff and Melinda. We're always saying, well, was so-and-so there? Was so-and-so there? Especially if the crowd is down, I start asking, well, who wasn't there? Donna Hunt. She'll tell you. I do. I check. I start checking. I say, well, was the twins there? And then I say, well, was Matt and John and Bonnie there? And I just start naming you all. I just start naming you all. I said, was Miss Shirley there? And I get the answer. If they say, no, I don't think they were. Well, I tell Greg, I say, you better call and check on them. See if they're all right. Hey, just because I'm away, hey, we got a lot of good speakers besides me and Craig. I know Tad was over here just the other Sunday. He's one of my associates. He's also the dean of Rhema. And I guess I need to bring Brother Bill over here and let you meet Brother Bill Ray. He is one of my, I guess he's been my associate longer than any of the rest of them have been, except maybe Craig. No, he's been there longer than Craig has too. So, hey, but y'all always come be here, okay? I'll be in Michigan doing a church dedication for one of the Rhema pastors up in, I forgot the town now, but it's in Michigan somewhere. Hey, I travel so much sometimes I don't know where I'm at. But somebody said, well, where are you, Pastor Hagin? I said, wait a minute, let me figure it out. All right, shake hands with people as you leave. Don't forget to go out there, and there's probably some goodies still left out there. Snack up, get a cup of coffee, get a drink. We'll go to the door, shake hands with you. God bless.